taking on a certain man called Kurt Dowd. It is Brad Brown. He is running for the Minnesota House. He's kind enough today to join us to talk about his campaign. He is our Democrat of the day. Brad, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me to come on. I sure appreciate it. It's raining here, too.
How heavy is it up there?
It was really coming down before, but now it's kind of slowly drizzling right now. I got a chance to play golf today, but the course is kind of underwater.
I got to imagine it is. It does help your golf game, though. I just, you know, you're kind of like Caddyshack. You can just let the rain take it for you there. So, why don't you give everyone an update? Who exactly is Brad Brown?
Well, I am a retired. I've been retired for a while now. I'm a retired journeyman diesel mechanic. I used to work for Murphy Warehouse out of southeast Minneapolis. Before that, I spent 4 years in the Air Force and received honorable discharge from them, came back home, went back to work, and I'm currently retired out of Machinist Union, Local 737. But I spend most of my time doing charity work. I do work for military families through the Isani County Beyond Yellow Ribbon. And I do scholarships, fundraisers, golf scholarship fundraisers for high school seniors. And I help children with handicaps through the Shriners Children's Hospital and our community. I also am a runner for them. I take patients to and from their appointments at Shriners, Gillette's, and the Mayo Clinic.
Wow, you do a lot of great things.
I do a lot of stuff.
Well, wonderful. And once again, it's Labor Day. We just happened here. Thank you for being a union laborer, a union strong there, hardworking men and women across the country. But, I mean, my goodness, how did you get involved in so many great organizations?
I try to get myself involved with organizations I really believe in. And Shalom Thrift Shop in Cambridge, I'm getting a plug out there for him, I guess. But I do 3 days a week volunteering there. And that's such a great organization. Everyone's volunteer. No one gets paid. And last year, we netted $322,700 and went right back into the community.
So you're busy. You do all this great work. What possessed you to say, you know what, this is the year. I'm going to run against Kurt Dowd in 31A.
Health insurance. I want health insurance, low cost, high quality health insurance for everyone. I've seen a lot of people out there suffering, and it's time it stopped. We got the money there. It's there to be taken. The administrative costs are so high right now that if we went down the administrative costs, the money is there to pay for the program right now, and people need it. And education, of course. But my first number one thing, and I've heard from constituents all over my area, the number one thing in their mind is health insurance. They need that a lot of people are waiting for that to happen before they can retire. They can't retire without a decent health insurance coverage. And young families, they need it for their children. And that's what it's all about. That's what the future is all about, is our kids. That's where we should be putting the money, is in our kids. Them a better life.
Well, and it's health insurance. As we've talked to the Democrats across the state in every corner, this is the unifying the case. I mean, once again, I mean, there was promises made by the Republicans, not only on the federal level, but here in the state, that, hey, get us in charge. Guess what? We're going to get better health care, more coverage. It has been far from that truth. As a matter of fact, they're desperately trying to hide the fact that they ever promised better health care coverage and cheaper health care coverage, and they're running away from that. This is the bread and butter issue, and whether you believe Obamacare was that whole discussion was what prompted this discussion, now that this discussion is happening, people are asking that question: why is my health insurance, why are my health costs so high?
Well, I'll tell you a reason. 31 to 32% of all the money that you pay for health coverage is administrative costs. If I propose Medicare for all, because Medicare has been around for a long time. They know what they're doing. They spend between 2 and 3% for administrative costs. There's the money. Mm-hmm. There's the money that would bring down the cost to make it affordable for everybody.
And once again, it's if you look at what the salaries of some of these senior executives, because I'm presuming that's part of the administrative costs, is that you're looking at people getting paid, $100 million. And, that's just in this day and age, don't get me wrong, people deserve a good paycheck. But this is just – it seems like the entire point is to make sure first and foremost executives have their 17th vacation home and their fourth yacht.
Exactly. And that's it. That's the answer, is Medicare for all. Let's do it. We can all do it if we all get together as a unified body, we can get it accomplished and just put it behind us and work towards the next goal.
Let's talk about where exactly is 31A for everyone out there listening.
31A goes from Zimmerman all the way up to just south of Highway 95, about 4 miles east of Princeton and about 6 miles west of Cambridge. It's kind of like a square, more like a rectangle, I guess. But that area right there, a lot of farms. And only two major towns, Zimmerman and St. Francis. It's a lot of area to cover, to talk to people and shake their hands.
And I've been in Zimmerman a few times, a cute little town there. I do enjoy going through there. You brought up the farm issue here. One of the things which is frankly terrifying, a lot of dairy farmers and soybean farmers as well, is the – and corn farmers. I was just reading about this morning. These trade deals that we have in place, it's great when we go sell local, and everyone loves that. And, you know, that's a great thing. But America's breadbasket, which Minnesota is part of – We produce a good chunk of the world's food, and to shut down these international markets, I got to imagine that's a conversation that you're having quite a bit too.
It's tough for them to handle because the fact of the matter is they act like they've been sold out because $4.6 billion is what the president proposed as a way to buy their votes, I guess. But the fact of the matter is they know that their soybeans are going to be laying, rotting in the field. There's a lot of them because they can't afford to pick them. They can't, there's no market for them.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I've got a meeting this coming Thursday with the local farmers of Isani County, a little get together, kind of a grassroots type thing to listen. I've got two ears and no waiting. And I want to hear their problems, and I want to work towards solving them.
Well, and it's what you just described there, the soybeans in the field. I read about this in Washington State. I read about this in, I believe it was in Kansas. Multiple areas, same exact thing. They're just there's no value in them actually picking the crops, so they're just letting the crops stay in the field. And, you know, and when you talk about dairy farmers, you know, they're just basically – they're at the point where in some cases because they have a finite life cycle on that product, you know, they're just offering it for free to anyone that will take it just because they got to get rid of the product and they don't know what else to do.
Exactly. My wife has chickens and I have goats. And the chickens that she has, we give this – because there's no market for the eggs. The eggs at the bottom of that market has dropped out. But she's got the chickens, so I take them to the food shelf in Princeton. Mm-hmm. And drop them off as a donation because there's no market to sell any of this stuff.
And what scares me is that when you describe this stuff, this is the foundation of the American economy. It's not Wall Street. It's not the S&P. It's not none of those things. It is the agricultural base. And one of the things that how you turn a recession into a Great Depression is you undermine your farming sector. And, you know, when you talk about that, then you're just having to give product away. That's a very ominous sign.
Yeah, I can see corporate farms. I can see it, and pretty soon there won't be any family farms because they'll be living on their farm, but they'll be working for corporations.
And for minimum wage.
Exactly.
A lot of hours, and don't punch that clock because you still got 10 hours of work to do.
Of course, you know, minimum wage doesn't amount to any. Oh, after all, I mean, it's, you know, it's not important. The minimum wage, not many people make that, right? Well, 61% of the people in the United States, the working people, make minimum wage or less.
It's
very, very important.
I've talked to numerous Republicans who just – that's their narrative is that we have a minimum wage but no one gets paid that. And you're like, what are you talking about? Most people that are doing hourly wage jobs get paid minimum wage.
Yeah, and a family of four, $15 an hour is below poverty level.
Mm-hmm. These are large problems. I have to ask this though. You know, Brad Brown once again joining us, Democrat of the day, 31A. What you're in a district where you got Kurt Dowd, and generally, you know, he's you know, as much as he's disliked in some parts of the state, you know, he's you know, this is a guy that's the Speaker of the House. This is a pretty big fight you're picking here.
Oh, I'm up for it. whatever comes about, I'm up for it.
Well,
I've just about in my 68 years, I've just about seen everything anyway, so I'm looking to have some fun. And this is like my wife said, it's just another adventure we're on together.
The response you've gotten on there, because it sounds like you've done a lot of the door knocking, you've gone around to the towns in St. Francis, Zimmerman, and in the farms. You're doing these listening sessions. What's been the response
on what the people with constituents want? They want health care. more than anything. They don't care if I get anything else done, but they surely want health care, because there's people out there that, like I said, are ready to retire, can't retire because they don't have health care they can depend on. They're afraid of losing everything if they do retire. And through their employer, they have health care, but if they retire, they won't. And young people raising their families, worried about it. Also, when it comes to education, they pretty much gutted out the education system we've got. There's really not a whole lot of money left for special ed and pre-K, which in this state is called voluntary pre-K. But it's a wonderful program, and it helps young people get a leg up. I'm all for education, as you probably remember from all the scholarships that I do. I'm looking to help anybody and everybody to get to, because education is the answer for everything. It really is.
Well, and you talk about a few other things. And once again, a topic we've discussed before, giving the kids there locally a good education and then giving them the opportunity with jobs there, whether those are ag sector jobs or other jobs. And frankly, the Republicans have had, you know, quite a few years. Really, they've had a say in this for most of the time since Jesse Ventura, and they have yet to follow through on any of their promises of broadband, better education, reforming the education funding system. They don't want to do these things. They keep talking about they're going to them, but they are not doing them, and we need to have a change, full-scale change in St. Paul.
Yeah, and also that welfare is not a lifetime, not a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle. It's just a temporary fix. What we should be doing is should be investing money into our children and our grandchildren in the way of a better education, a world-class education, so they can get the jobs they need and to get off the welfare rolls. And that's what it should be all about. That's what life's all about.
And you talk about – and one sector that is desperately needed in every district is senior health care assistance. And,
yes.
And you can train those – you can train them locally by starting to give them a good high school education, and they don't seem to – I'm not going to fund this. We're not going to fund this. That's just fat cat, cut the meat, all this stuff, talk about how they're not going to fund education. The reality is that we need educated people to come out of high school, get a technical – at least a nursing degree from a technical school, so they can help in these communities with our aging population. And the Republicans don't even see that they're stymieing that process from the very beginning.
And if you're talking about our seniors, you should talk about maintenance of their houses so they can live there. They can stay there. They don't have to go to the nurses. If they're able to stay on their own and able to live on their own, there's a lot of pride connected with that. And if their houses are maintained, that's good for resale value of the houses. People, after they pass on, people can buy up that house. But if you're going to let it deteriorate, like a lot of the houses in the local area around here, the people get old. They can't shingle their roof anymore. They can't side it. They can't paint it. But other people can, and we can get a program set up where maybe young people would like to do that. Maybe there's jobs available for young people for whatever reason, for college education.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I've got lots of ideas.
You do, and you got a lot of great ideas. This is fantastic. Brad Brown, 31A. Brad, it's the point of the conversation when I say, it's fall. It's a lovely time of year in Minnesota. I'm sure you need volunteers. I'm sure you need donations. 31A has got some size. You need to get out there and talk to everyone, correct?
Correct. I'm on Facebook, and also my email address is brown4mnhouse@gmail.com. Also, my website is brown4mnhouse.com. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do it through ActBlue on brown4mnhouse.com, or you can send it to my address. I don't know if I should give my address out.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll do the website. Once again, is it the number 4 or F-O-R?
No, the number 4. brown4mnhouse@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
And both of them are the same with the number 4, yes.
All right. Brown4, the number 4, MN House. Look for the website. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Once again, Democrat of the Day, 31A, Brad Brown taking on Kirk Dowd. Brad, thank you very much for the time. I do appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you.